those who like to follow along, I'll let you open your Bibles up to Mark 10, 17 through 31. And we're going to talk about free things in life, or bargains, or things that people want to give us that sometimes don't always work that way. Years ago, I had a person want to give me a pie, a rhubarb pie. Well, I don't like rhubarb. I don't like it one little bit. In fact, if I scrape the icing off of it, I still can't eat it. So anyhow, I got home, and my mom asked me, said, well, did you bring the pie home? I said, what pie? She said, well, you're supposed to bring home a rhubarb pie. I said, I was supposed to. I said, yeah, but I didn't like it. I didn't want it. She said, well, don't you always know that you accept gifts, even though you don't like them, to make them happy? I said, well, that's funny. He said, well, as soon as I told him I didn't want it, he took a big bite out of it and thanked me for it. So I'm glad he enjoyed it more than I did, because I wouldn't enjoy it, but he certainly did. For those of you who have your books open, we'll follow along right now. And we're going to talk about the rich young man today, about how sometimes in our lives that the cheapest thing that people want to give us is always the best. People were bringing little children. Oh, wrong part. Okay. As Jesus started on his way, let me lift this up here. I just got glasses and I got the progressive. And sometimes you have to do like this to get used to them. It's called old age. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud on your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a little boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. At this, the young man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, well, then who then can be saved? Jesus looked at him and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one has left home, brothers, or sisters, or mother, father, children, or fields for me, and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them, persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I'm going to ask my sister up here to pray for me as I bring the message.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that David's here to speak for you this morning and to us. And I just pray you would anoint his lips with your message, Lord, and that we would be receptive to what you want us to learn today. Just pray you bless him in a very special way for being a servant. In Jesus' name.
Thank you very much for that. Whenever I sing, whenever I pray, I always go into a darkened room and I get on my knees and I admit to God my faults, my weakness, and that all things are possible through him. So this morning, as I tell you this, that the Lord is at my shoulder right now, he's whispering to me things to say and give me ideas in my head, because without them, all things are not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Are you looking for a bargain? Are you looking for something cheap? Did you go up to the yard sale yesterday up here at Paramount? Did you walk up and down looking for a bargain? Something that you could use, or maybe something you was afraid to buy because it was too expensive, you was looking for a better deal? Sometimes in our lives, that's what we do. We look for a better deal. We hate to spend money. But yet, on the other hand, sometimes when you need it bad enough, you have to pay the full price. A couple years ago, I was in store in Frederick, and I have a Panasonic tape player, and it's just a tape player. It's not a CD, but I really liked it. I bought it brand new, and I took it to churches, and it's all beat up, and I thought, well, I'd like to have a CD one. So I looked around, went in the boss calls, and they had the one I wanted, and it was in real nice shape. It was brand new in the box, just like mine, except it had the CD player on top. And I looked at the price, and I thought, oh, my. So anyhow, I walked away sad because I couldn't afford it. Well, less than a month later, I helped an auctioneer an auction. Here come one up in the box and everything to be sold. I got that one for $15. So the Lord does work in mysterious ways sometimes. But with that thought in mind, is that do we have coupon books? Are you one of these people, as soon as you get the paper, you open it up, look for coupons and stuff like this? There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, the flooring looked like somebody bought a pile of lumber and used that to build the thing they were standing on. But you know, like I said, just not too far from here was the yard sale. And a lot of people talk about it, a lot of people go, and a lot of people look for bargains. But let me ask you this question, though. Do you get sometimes what you pay for? I mean, if you go to these places like Sam's Club, and you get a pretty good deal, but then you go to places like Ollie's or Secondhand, sometimes you don't know what you're ending up with. You might think you got a good deal, and you might have got cheated on it. I know a couple years ago, a buddy of mine bought a lawnmower at a sale, and he was told, oh, it runs good and all this. He got it home, and come to find out, things smoked like a hog. I mean, it just smoked and carried on. He said, run. He didn't ask me how did it run. But I'm just saying, is that the lesson talks about this morning is that sometimes we need to realize what's important in our life. But I want to tell you two more good deals that I've gotten into, and it's kind of interesting. I like trains. You know, little Paul likes trains. I like trains. And my brother works here in Frederick on the Golden Mile. And up behind him used to be what called McCollin Orchard. So anyhow, when they started building all these houses, she was still up there. So years later, one of the guys my brother works with come down and told me, said, well, she's having a yard sale and there's a train set up there. So she went up there. He went up there, I should say. And there in the original box was a 1950s American Flyer train set with the box, the paperwork, everything was still in it. And here was this old 80-year-old lady having this yard sale with stuff laid out across the yard. She sold the house. She's getting ready to move. Her son had moved away. Her husband passed away. She was having a yard sale. So anyhow, he went and looked at it, and he couldn't get over it. I mean, it's something you just don't see. So finally, he asked her, and she said, well, I bought that for my son for Christmas. He got it out for Christmas. It's been put back away. It's never been run since then. And we paid X amount of dollars for it and all this. And he's like, well, I could get back to work. So finally he says, well, what would you take for it? Oh, I don't know. It's worth this and all this and so on. So finally she said, is $20 too much? So he gathered it up, took it down the road. He was thrilled to death. I've had my eye on it ever since. So anyhow, a couple weeks after that, I was in an auction. And there was a pile of junk there, but it had a set of case Culver gauge wheels. We was talking about that before we come up here with what's his name on the back pew. So finally, it got to the point to where I ended up buying that pile of junk just for them wheels. And I told junk man, I'll look through it to see if there's anything else I want. So finally, we looked through the pile, and it was a piece of casting there about the size of a trash can lid, that thick of cast iron. And on both sides, it said Coca-Cola. It didn't say drink Coca-Cola or anything. It just said Coca-Cola in small lettering. So three of us picked it up in the back of my truck. Now, that's how heavy it was. It took three of us. So we loaded it up, and I called my uncle. Now, my uncle used to be the vice president in charge of production for a Coca-Cola bottling plant. That was when you took the bottles, you sterilized them, you put them back on the rack, you refill them, send them back out. So he was a big collector. So I called him up. I said, I need you to come out here. So he came out one day, visited my dad, brothers, and everything. So I showed it to him. He walked around. He looked at it. He tried to pick it up, and I kind of laughed when he tried to pick it up. So between the two of us, we stood up on its end. He looked at the bottom, looked at the top. I said, well, what is it? He looked at me and said, to tell you the truth, I don't know what it is. I said, you're the Coca-Cola man. He said, I may be a Coca-Cola man, but I've never seen a thing like that before. So finally, he called me back that night and said, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you $150 for it right now. This is a pile of junk that I paid $10 for, and he's offering me $150 for this piece of casting. Come to find out, I don't know if you remember this or not, but do you remember when the schools used to have a little tin man out front and it said, please slow school crossing or something like that? This was Coca-Cola made them for schools, and that was the base. And most of them, when the schools were done with them, they throw them away. Nobody saved them. So anyhow, this one must have been the remains of a grinder. And it had the base out there on the junk pile. So anyhow, my brother's a big Coca-Cola collector. And I was kidding around with him. I said, would you want to trade? And he said, well, I don't know. Well, you see, his birthday is 2 days before mine. Mine's December 10th. His is the 12th. So anyhow, that mine was on a Sunday. He stopped by the house, brought this box, all taped up nice. He said, here's your birthday present. Well, open it up. There's that American Flyer train set. I said, okay, thank you. So anyhow, so when am I going to get my present? I said, 2 days. So Tuesday night, I'll back up to this thing. Well, I can't pick it up. So I lay a 2x12 down on the ground, and I'm rolling this thing up there, up the ramp to try to get in the back of the van. So anyhow, when it falls down, I mean, it falls down hard. I mean, you can feel it's back there. So we get to his house. He said, I got your present out there in the car, but the problem of it is it's going to take two of us to get it back out because I got a van where it's got like a lip and it drops down in. So it took two of us working out little by little. So it didn't cost us much money, but we both got something we wanted. It didn't cost that much. But the funny part is the train set sits up there in my living room as a showpiece, and his sits in his bedroom as a showpiece. You know, sometimes it'd be more fun if we got something we could actually use. And here was this this rich young ruler. Rich young ruler. You have to excuse me, I'm kind of nervous. But anyhow, he goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, you know, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus kind of, you know, says to him, he said, no, you know, why do you say, you know, all this? And he says, well, what must I do? He said, well, do you know the commandments? Well, I brought this little one up here this morning, and it's the country Ten Commandments. It says, only one God, mustn't fib or gossip, must go to Sunday meetings, adultery forbidden, honor mom and pa, must not steal, don't hanker for friends' needs, no idols, do not kill, and you don't cuss. Well, I thought that was kind of neat this morning. And these are all Ten Commandments. In fact, last night I was watching a TV show, and they went out on the street and asked the people, says, how many of you know the Ten Commandments? I think out of 15 or some odd people, I think they might have got three or four, like, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. But they couldn't think of the rest of them. So anyhow, Jesus says to this young man, you know, this and that and so on. He says, yeah, I've been doing this since my birth. He said, well, you only got to do one more thing. He says, what's that? He says, give away everything you have to the poor and follow me. Well, that was one problem. Apparently, he must have money. Now, some Bible says that he was the son of a rich young ruler. So for a ruler, he would have had money. So you think about it, it's hard to tell what he might have been worth. But then Jesus says, give it all away. Well, you know, it's not so hard to give it all away when you got a pocket full of ones, is it? But when you start talking thousands and millions of dollars or even your prestige. Because you think about it, he would probably brought an entourage with him and had people do his clothes, make sure he got fed, a place to stay, and all this. He would have to give all that up. Sometimes we don't like to change what we're doing. It's much like some people, it's like, you know, I'm not going to change for that. Or they think, well, you know, later on in life I will change. But sometimes change is a good thing. It makes us appreciate more what we have. See, I grew up poor. I wouldn't say poor, but because at the time I was a child, I didn't realize what poor was. But I remember my mom coming to me and saying that we could qualify for food stamps. And she asked us, she said, do you want to do that? And I said, no, let somebody else that's poor get the money. See, I didn't realize I was poor. I was happy. I remember as a small child that we had a cook stove and had to carry water in and buckets. And the outhouse was a little building out back. But yet we was happy. We went to church on Sundays, had a vacation Bible school. We made craft out of anything we could find. And with vacation Bible school up there, it just reminds me of all the wonderful times we had because people would be willing to help and do things and donate. And the kids remember this. They was willing to go out of your way to help these kids, to show them what God's love is like. And this rich young ruler had missed it all. Missed the whole point of it. Because God's love cannot be bought. It cannot be sold. It's not like I would go out here and I would buy a new fancy car and think, well, now, you know, people are going to look at me, but that doesn't mean that way. But I'm up here this morning telling you that God is in my heart and that he's in our hearts too. It's a real thing. It don't have to be bought. It don't have to be sold, like I said. But let me give you another thought. And that is, he says, I've kept him since a small boy. Well, it's easy. we don't have to be tempted or anything, is it? I mean, if you live in a protected area and you don't have to worry about money, you don't have to worry about anything, it's easy to do some of these things. But sometimes children steal in order just to eat. Sometimes parents will lie in order to keep a job. It's not right. Sometimes things happen this way. Paul had to work today. Now, he could have just told him and said, well, you know, I can't do it because I've got to preach, which is more important. But I'm glad I could do this for him. I'll be willing to help him out, and he'd be willing to help me out. But anyhow, Jesus goes on and says it's a shame that the money had kept him from really understanding what the true meaning of life is. And that's the love of God in our hearts. But then he also goes on and says that it is harder for a rich man to get to heaven than a camel to pass through an eye of a needle. Now, we all know what a needle looks like. And I think the biggest needle there is, you can't get your little pinky through the end of it where the yarn goes through. But God once explained to me that in Jerusalem there's a gate called the Needle Gate. Now, the Needle Gate is like when you see these pictures, these great big doors in the front of a kingdom that open up. Well, this was a little gate. I mean, this ain't much bigger than maybe some of these little barn doors, like inside of a big barn door. And it ain't much more room than to get through and shut behind you. Sometimes you even have to bend over. And the guy told me, he said, that years ago when caravans would get there late and doors would shut, like maybe they got held up or something, that they would have to take all this stuff off the camels, carry it in, and then the camel was trained that would get on its knees and crawl through that door in order to get that door that night. Can you imagine all the work to go through to take all the stuff off the camel, the saddle, and then get that camel get on its knees just to crawl through that door that night? Now, that's what his opinion was, but to me, it's an actual needle. I mean, it's hard enough for me to try to thread that thing. More or less imagine a rich man trying to crawl through there. But you know, the Bible says that naked I come, naked I go. We didn't bring nothing, we don't take nothing with us. There's no U-Haul hooked to the back of the hearse when it goes to the cemetery. The Egyptians years ago might have thought that I can pack stuff in the grave and I'll take it along with me. But then they come to find out it don't happen because when they dig them up, it's still there. So remember that. When he was worried about his fortunes and all the money he had, sometimes that's a downfall. Because it's more likely to bother you if you have money than if you had no money. But anyhow, the story goes on. And Jesus says that with God, it is possible. Now we may say that if that's the case, that a rich man, it's harder for him to get to heaven than a camel get through an eye of a needle. Well, then what's it like for a normal man to get to heaven? Is it that terrible? He says, no. It all goes into trust, faith. Faith, you know, that's that little word. A buddy of mine tried to describe it to me a couple years ago. And he talked of a story to where a man stood at a banister in a house, and the little child was up on the banister, and as he held his arms up, his son jumped in his arms. So anyhow, the other guy said, let's see if I can do it. So he held his arms out, but the little boy wouldn't do it. He knew his father would not let anything happen to him. No harm. And that's where our Heavenly Father tells us. He says, come abide with me. Abide with me. Learn my ways. Talk to me. Let me understand what's in your heart. I want to be part of your life. Then the cost of salvation is free. Free now. How many times have you went somewhere and it's been free? Not very often, has it? I was just down at Lowe's this morning and got a piece of pipe. That wasn't free. Even though I'm going to donate for another cause, you think they would have said, well, since you're going to donate, we'll give it to you for half price or something. Well, it don't work that way. It really don't. But I want you to change the subject a minute. When we talk about money in our lives. And I want you to remember, I'm going to change the subject, so think of this with me. Paul is in Asia. He's in the temple talking about Jesus. And when he starts mentioning Jesus' name, they all go in an uproar. They're hollering and carrying on. And Rome is in charge. So Rome grabs him, carries him in the back, and they throw him on a rack and try to find out what's going on. Why are they having this ruckus? So when they're getting ready to beat him, he looks at the guard and says, isn't it unlawful to beat a Roman citizen? We see at the time, Rome more or less controlled the whole world. The known world was under Rome's command. So here he is, and it's like, and they're looking at it like, uh-oh, you're a Roman citizen? He said, yep. And of course, he runs to his supervisor and says, do you know what you did? We got a Roman down there. And it's like, oh my goodness. Because at the time, they had garrisons all over the world. And it's like, well, you beat one of their men up, they come down, they just eliminate the whole town at that time. So anyhow, he goes down, he says, is it true you're a Roman citizen? He says, yeah, I've been a Roman since birth. And the guy said, I had to pay a great deal of money to become a Roman citizen. Think about it. Something that we get for free. Think about it. Eternal life, happiness, love of Christ in our life, the guidance. We have more that was given to us free than what we could ever accomplish here on this earth. And that's eternal life. A loving God who cares for us. He's not an evil, mean person that picks on us, much like somebody with a magnifying glass that likes to burn ants, says, well, here, I'm going to do this to you just because I like it. But no, he loves us. He loves us. And the best part of it is it's all free. You know, a lot of you don't know my history in Christ. I gave my life to Christ in a cow barn because everybody said I should go up before the altar. But when I did and got baptized, it's like, this is it. This is all there is to it. There was no change in me. It just felt like I jumped out of the shower. So finally, I met a man in the barn one night, and he talked to me, explained to me what Christianity was all about. And I got on my knees in that barn that night with the cows, with him, as he prayed for me. And ever since then, it hasn't changed. But you know, though, I love to do this. I love to meet the people because they're kind, considerate people. I love to pray. I love to sing. I just love to do things because every time I know he's there with us. He wants to hear what we have to do. One last thing, and that is, I love to give. Everybody will say, you know, like, if you need something, go visit him or whatever. And a couple weeks ago, I had a pile of junk laying in my backyard. I got tired of mowing around it. My wife got tired of complaining to me about it. So finally, I threw it on the back of the truck, and a buddy of mine was telling me 2 days before that he needs some nice big steel wheels for a project. So I threw them on, loaded them up to the truck, took him over to his house, threw him off. He was thrilled to pieces. I said, well, there you go. You got your project. He said, wait a minute. I got something for you. I said, what? Well, he took me up behind the shed. He wanted to build a tank and put wheels underneath of it because he's a whistle collector. These great big ones off of steam engines and the little ones. He wanted to build something. So anyhow, at my shop where I used to work out of, I had a big two-stage, 10-horsepower air compressor. It was a monstrous big thing. So anyhow, he was telling me he's looking for a compressor. I said, well, you can go over and get it anytime you want. So a couple days ago, I went down there, flipped the electric motor on. I thought, well, why ain't there no air? And I went out back, and here he done beat me to it and took the compressor. So I thought to myself, you know, I did tell him to take it, and I know he'll get more use out than I did. So when I got ready to leave, he said, let me show you what I got you. So he rebuilt a 3/4 horsepower air compressor for me to use in my shop now. So you see, what goes around comes around. Now, some people may think that this rich young ruler has the best of everything. But you know, I think he's missing out on the best part of life. And that's life itself. And that's life in Christ. Jesus don't give his blood for us that we can be kingdom with him. And all we have to do is believe. Believe. No deposits, no sales slip, no nothing. That all we have to do is believe. Jesus gave his blood for me, and I give him my heart. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Dear great and loving God, I pause to give you thanks that may have touched their lives with the happiness of Christ in their lives, and also that I may show them the happiness that Christ has in me. Dear great and loving God, as they leave here with Vacation Bible School and in the outside world, as they go, let them have this happiness to show to all the world that money cannot buy, that prestige cannot buy, that all the things this world cannot buy, but that God can give us to us for free. Amen. And our last song for the morning is...
It's 488. We've changed it.
Oh, okay.
602 is our baptism.
Oh, okay. 488.
Please stand.